This is the Age of Mind podcast. Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is TJ McGraw, and you're with the Agent Mind podcast. Today, I'm bringing on a special guy. His name is Michael Smith. He's an agent down here in the metro Atlanta, Georgia area. Mainly, the reason I'm bringing him on today is he has taken his sales business and he has transformed into mainly doing investing. So he's taken all the knowledge, all the skills that he's learned as an agent, and he's applying them to his investing business. He's killing it out there. He's doing deals now without any money of his own, no money from his own pocket. He's bringing in deals, flipping houses, doing great. So I wanted to get him on here because I know one of the most popular things that I hear from agents out there is that they got into the business because they wanted to be a real estate investor. And that was the only way or the easiest path to just get in the real estate business and surround yourself with what's going on. And just and learn that way and then start investing. The problem is that not a lot of agents actually get to that point where they are, you know, doing the investing. They just get caught up in sales. It's really easy to get overwhelmed with business. So without systems in place and without a good path, a good plan, a lot of agents don't end up regretfully going into investing. So I'm pulling in Michael today. He did it. He had his eye on the prize. He did not waver from his goals, and now he is just crushing out there doing investing in real estate. So let's bring him on. Michael Smith, here he comes. Michael, man, thanks for coming on. How you doing today?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been looking forward. I've been thinking about having you on for a while. Just because it's a great, a lot of agents say they want to get into investing and never do. So hopefully you can inspire some people. And I'm inspired by you just from what you do and how you just kind of took a leap and went in and just attacked it, and you're doing great. So let's start from the beginning though. Like, what were you doing before real estate, and then how did you get into real estate, and then we'll kind of go from there.
So I just kind of, I've always done construction jobs growing up, worked with my hands, remodeling stuff, became an electrician, went through a 5-year apprenticeship for that. And I just got tired of the 9-to-5 grind. And I've always been interested in real estate, having some rental properties and maybe doing some flips and stuff. So it's always been in the back of my head. And during COVID, when it really went full force, my profession became essential. And the job site rules got really crazy, and just sick of the monotonous grind and going to the construction site with a COVID mask on. So I was like, you know what? I've got some savings. I don't really know anybody in real estate to help me get going. So I decided to get a real estate license through 2021, and it was the best decision I ever made because it definitely put me in the room with the people who were experienced in real estate. And, you know, I met you, and you've been a great mentor to me in my success. So,
you know, thank you. You're making me blush. No, that's awesome. I'm glad you started there. I'm glad we started with that question, because most often when I talk to agents about why they got into real estate, it's because they wanted to invest. They wanted to be investors, and they figured they would just get closer. That's why I got into real estate, actually. That was my motivation for getting my license. And it is for a lot of agents out there. But then there's something happens with like, I don't know, you just hit this grind in sales, and that, you know, you can definitely make money doing that. So a lot of agents just kind of like either pause or they put their aspirations of investing aside. So, but you went in with the intention, I'm going to get my real estate license, and then I'm going to leverage that into investing, right?
Yeah. So I used, now don't get me wrong, I still enjoy helping clients and helping people list their homes and sell it too. But when you come across deals, you know, as agents, we see stuff all the time. And I think what really just holds people back from doing it is just fear. You know, or, you know, limiting beliefs on you know, I can't do this. I don't have the money to do it. And you know, instead of saying I can't do it, just ask the question, how can I do it? It's kind of the thing.
Yeah. That's a good point. Let's dig into that a little bit. Let's just hop right into the mindset and the fear behind it.
Yeah.
Let's do it from the lens of like your first deal.
Absolutely.
Your first flip, like once you got your sea legs, as it were, for real estate as a salesperson, mm-hmm. then you went, I remember the first deal you bought. Like, what were the fears around that? And like, what did you have to kind of power through and kind of tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I started off real estate, just doing kind of retail sales, helping buyers and sellers, as you know. And started going to some investment groups on the side and learning a little more about fix and flips and rental properties and stuff. And my main goal is I want to build a rental portfolio and have some passive wealth one day. But the first deal, I ended up going to a listing appointment, and the lady was in a little bit of trouble. She's not necessarily trouble, but she had a wholesaler. And for those of you who don't know, wholesalers take a fee. They get a property under contract and then they try to sell it. And then they try to take a fee out of that. So she was fed up with the wholesaler. So she called me to list the home to try to get it to sell. So I go there and, she wanted a quick cash offer, quick closing. And I told her, well, you know, I made an offer, just a cash offer right there on the spot. Didn't have any of the money, obviously. I made a $150,000 offer. I definitely don't have $150,000 in the bank to pay for it. But I took a leap of faith, went and got it under contract, and then immediately took that deal. I ran the numbers, so I knew it would be a good deal. It's in a good neighborhood. I knew it would sell pretty quick. So I took that deal to my investment group and met a partner who helped me figure that out. So he loaned me rehab funds. And what actually ended up happening is I talked the seller into a seller finance deal where she netted more money. So I ended up making the offer for $150,000 cash. She didn't necessarily like that much. And I was like, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $10,000 more. So make the offer $160,000, but you seller finance it to me and I pay you when the house is fixed up and sold. And you know, everything was in contract and stuff. So it's legit. So she put her trust in me to make it happen. And then I borrowed, $40,000 for the rehab from a, investor that took trust in me, and we've done several deals together since then too.
Yeah, this is there's so much to unpack right there.
Yeah, it really
That's
is
amazing.
And I want to say one more thing. When I wanted to do this originally, I went about it the wrong way. So I started going to these investment groups trying to find money, hard money, private money. And nobody would give me the time of day. And then I got a really good piece of advice saying, look, man, just go find the deal and the money will come.
Mm-hmm.
Find a good deal. You know, there's plenty of people out there that are willing to lend their money on a good deal. And, that's basically exactly how it happened. As soon as I found the deal, the money came right after. So.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing too, is we often look at it like, oh, a lot of agents listening to this episode right here have been at a house doing a listing appointment, saying to themselves, wow, this would be perfect. If I had the money, I would offer on this. It would help the seller, it would help me, it'd be great, but I just don't have the money to do it. And that's backwards thinking. Like you said, I think it's awesome that you had the courage, I'll keep it clean here, the courage to the intestinal fortitude to make an offer where before you knew where the money was coming from.
Yeah.
I think that's you have to take, you just kind of got to put yourself out on a limb. Yeah. And because really what's the worst that would happen if you, if you couldn't get the funding, you just, you wouldn't have, you wouldn't buy the house. I mean, that's
right. And, really, and at the end of the day. I explained to her too, because I want to make everybody feel comfortable. I want everybody to have a good deal. I'm not out here to lowball cash offer and offend people. Mm-hmm. She was in a predicament. She needed to sell the house. You know, her husband had passed away. It needed to go. She had already been tied up for 6 months under contract trying to sell this house with somebody else. And, you know, I explained to her that if I couldn't get the money together to do it, then we would just list it and I would try to help her sell it for, you know, top dollar. I said, either way, it's a win-win, you know. And then she actually came out better because she saved on realtor commissions and fees and associated with that. So,
yeah. So it's really bringing, if you think of it in a way, like you're just finding solutions.
Yeah. Basically.
For people. Because it's, yeah, it's a good case in point with that wholesaler that was just in it to collect a fee, just to cash a check.
Oh yeah.
And didn't really have her best interest in mind. And then, you know, she found you, or you ended up in front of her with the solution to fix it. And not only one solution, but you had several. So you had like a, if this doesn't work, we can do this. We can list it and you're going to come out on top. Yeah. I have your best interest in mind. Like a lot of investors don't. A lot of investors do, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there are wholesalers out there just with, you know, the dollar signs in their eyes, just trying to get a house under contract for as little as possible and then turn around and assign the contract to somebody else for as much as possible.
Yeah.
Without really concern. Yeah.
Some of the wholesale fees are ridiculous. Way more than a realtor commission. So
yeah.
People just need to be careful with that.
Most definitely.
The investment thing as an agent definitely adds another tool to your tool belt, because I can go to a listing appointment and have that as another option for them. So depending on their situation, I can go in to the listing appointment and, you know, we can either list it and try to sell it to you for top dollar, but that's not always what people want. Sometimes people have a different situation. They're tired of living there. They need to get out. You know, they've had somebody pass away in the family, either going through a divorce, and they just want to get out of it. So, you know, I can also have the ability to give them, you know, a cash offer. And if it doesn't work out for them, if my cash offer isn't a number that they want, they can always go the other listing approach. I'm in it for the people. I'm about building relationships. I want to have a business that I can get referrals from.
Yeah. Doing it the right way. Right. 'Cause in the long run, it's going to be more lucrative.
Absolutely.
For sure. And you can sleep at night and look at yourself in the mirror.
Right. And I've had people refer me and, you know, send me deals and different things. Now I had somebody send me 3 deals this morning off somebody that I worked with in the past.
Nice. So, yeah. That wouldn't happen if they thought you took advantage of them, for sure. Now, do you use this in any of your marketing? I mean, so let me back up, because I haven't even asked you this question. What percentage of your business right now is investing, and what percentage is, you know, retail sales?
I would probably say about 50-50.
Okay.
But this year, I plan on diving deep in the investment. Really, I plan on diving deep on both sides. I'm really leaning on having that cash offer option for retail clients, if that's a plausible outcome for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I really want to do more flips. I want some buy and holds. I want to do some burrs, for those of you who don't know, that's buy, renovate, refinance, rent and repeat.
Rent and repeat.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, just basically buying a house, fixing it up, refinance it,
and buy another house. Get your money back out of the house, stick a renter in it so they pay for it for you, and then leverage that equity in that house to buy another house.
Exactly. Yeah. So currently you don't have a specific system or program in place to as like part of your marketing to like, you know, like the Mark Spain out there, like who's like you're, you know, cash, whatever
it
is.
I do send mailers to neighborhoods that I like and find interesting. Right now I'm working in a couple niche neighborhoods that, I'm kind of starting to create comps in the neighborhood. So I'm kind of adjusting the values of the houses by doing this, and making the houses in the neighborhood worth more. So I'm helping people's real estate that live there accelerate in a way.
Yeah. That's a good point that you mentioned that because, I just went with an investor out this morning to look at a property and we were talking about the good that investors do. They come in, they take properties that would otherwise be like, they would just rot into the ground.
Right.
They come in, they renovate them and bring the values up slowly, little by little, which is good. It's just good for everybody. And it gives, you know, provides housing. It's, it's good.
Neighborhood.
Yeah. It's if you do it the right way and you truly have the heart for, to care for people, then it is great for the community. It's great for you. It's great for the people that you're helping, the people that you're buying the house from, and the people that are either buying or renting the house from you. It's just all around. If you're doing it the right way, it's just a good, solid thing for the community for sure. So let's go through your net. How many flips have you done in the past? What is it, a year and a half or so?
It's been a year. It's been actually a little less than a year. So like 11 months and I've done three
flips. Yeah. That's pretty good. Like I said, you just dove right in. Started.
I made a goal in 2022 to do one flip. That was my goal, to do one flip. I wrote it down, do at least one flip, sell a certain number of homes, and I ended up hitting both goals.
Nice.
The flips, I never would imagine that I would have done three at this point.
Yeah. So what? Tell us about the second one, and then I want to know what was easier about it, and what didn't you expect?
Yeah. So the second one, so that was an MLS deal. It had been on the market for a little while. It was in the same neighborhood as the first one, so I already knew comps. It was a little bit different floor plan, so it was a little bit less than the first deal as far as after renovation value. It was about in the 260 range, but whereas the other house sold for 280. It was an MLS deal. I had noticed that it had fell. I was watching it for a little while. I noticed that it had fell out of contract. It went under contract and out of contract three different times. So I knew there were pain points for the seller. I went to look at it and it was slap full of trash, smelled horrible. The listing photos were cell phone pictures and they were all taken, you know, with all the junk in there. So I already knew, you know, it wasn't very crazy marketing. No offense to the agent that listed. She was great, but, you know, it is what it is. So it was listed for $199. The first contract they had was for $209. So after they fell out three times, I shot an offer in at $175. With the intention to try to get that down a little bit when the inspection report came, because I knew there was going to be some stuff I could just tell. And my numbers really wouldn't work at 175, so I needed to try to negotiate and get that down a little bit. So I sent 175. I didn't think they were going to bite on it at all. They ended up taking it. They were just upset, ready to sell. Which, in all honesty, that was a more than fair price, $165, for the condition that the home was in, because we did a lot to that one. And, I just offered them $175, and then the inspection report came, and, of course, there's a few things that came up, so I asked them for a discount. I asked them to go down to $165. They agreed, And again, the money came from the guy that I used the last time. We'd already had that first relationship. He gave me a private loan, 10%, basically paid him a interest-only payment every month for 6 months. We had a six-month agreement. Property was renovated and sold in about 3 months, so I only paid 3 months of the interest payment, paid him back. And for the rehab on this one, I borrowed funds from another person. See, a lot of people don't know this, but your mother could be your lender, your grandfather, your best friend, somebody who owns a business, and they don't even have to have the money either. They could have a retirement account. They could have an IRA, 401k. You can take loans against all that stuff and lend your money out and then get a return and make money for basically doing nothing. And the beauty of it is, you know, their interest is secured in the house. So if I was to not come through and do the house or whatever, I drop the ball, I quit paying, then the person who lent the money just gets the house right back, which is worth more than they lent anyway. You know, lenders, the private money people will only lend on a house that they actually want. So I always try to keep worst case scenario in mind. So yeah, that's
a good point.
Yeah, that's how my second deal went.
Yeah, that's good. I want to dig into that. You said something that I want to dig into, but did you have the same fears the second time around, the third time around? Like, what was it easier? You said you did that one in 3 months, so it was a little more streamlined.
Yeah. Actually, the first one, I think I did quicker because I was doing my first one and I was so nervous about it. So I was really tedious and really on the ball with it. The second one I had, even though it was only 3 months, it wasn't that long. It felt like forever because the first couple weeks I was having issues scheduling contractors and stuff to get out there, which that's a whole nother debacle. It's not easy to flip a house. As you know, you've done it. Contractors are a nightmare sometimes. So
yeah, I went through a couple.
We've got stories. But, yeah, man, no, the second one was a little bit smaller, so it wasn't as crazy as a rehab.
Gotcha.
You're
stacking lessons, though, so each time you do it,
absolutely,
is a little more, like, you're a little more comfortable, or you're a little more knowledgeable.
In the rehab for this one, so I borrowed $20,000 from a private lender. They just took it out of a retirement account they had. Paid them $3,000 back on their money. I'm sorry. I paid them 10% on their money, which was like $2,000 for 3 months of them doing nothing, which isn't a bad return.
Yeah.
And then, but the total rehab ended up being like $50,000. So I leveraged credit cards to do that one. And just paid them off after the house sold.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how I did that, which made me nervous towards the end. Cause you know, once those credit cards start stacking up, you're like, it's good debt to have. There's such things to go ahead and back to.
It's like Dave Ramsey, hold your earmuffs, Dave Ramsey.
Not listening to Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. So if you're a Dave Ramsey fan out there and you're thinking about it, I agree with the philosophy if you're talking about your personal spending. But when it comes to investing, like it just makes more sense to use somebody else's money.
Yeah. If the debt pays for itself, why not? Yeah. So you don't have to use any of your own money. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. You basically get free real estate if you're creative enough.
Yeah. And part of the second one, so I never came out of any money out of pocket on the second one.
Nice.
It was all leveraged through debt.
And the more reputation you get as somebody who does a good job and makes people money, then really the less you got to dig into your own pocket, right?
Yeah. And right now, I'm like coming up with a template, because like a presentation, which this is a good tip for people who are trying to borrow money from private or hard money lenders. Mm-hmm. Come up with a presentation. If you have experience doing it, make a resume, send it to these private lenders, kind of like a job. You want to send a good resume. You want people to vouch for you, have references. So now I'm making a resume of the flips and stuff that I've done to just try to get more funding. Eventually, I want to raise capital, some kind of venture capital. I haven't really figured out the bone structure of it, but that's been on my mind lately.
I have no doubt that you'll do it. Just considering the track record of you just diving into investing and buying a house, making offers on a house with no money in your pocket.
Yeah. That's crazy thing. Listen to a lot of bigger pockets
too. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, I want to dig back into what you said before about borrowing on a 401k and private money like that. With private money, there's really no, I don't want to say there's no regulation, but you don't have the red tape and the stuff you have to go through with a bank.
It is so much easier. Your credit doesn't get pulled. So you don't
credit. Like all that stuff doesn't matter. It is really just it's the real estate, the real property, and what the value is of that real property after the renovation. If the numbers work, there is somebody out there with money that will pony up and do the deal with you.
And if you're thinking about lending money, definitely do your own research and make sure it's a good deal that you would want to own yourself before you lend the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
People won't lend money on any deal. You can't just be like, oh, I got this house over here. I need $150,000. No, they're gonna look into it. So
yeah, 100%.
Taking people's money and just all willy-nilly.
Yeah, if you are thinking, that's one way to invest also. I mean, that's if you got an extra, and you don't need a whole bunch too. You can just get in on a deal, you know, if you got 20 grand, like pay for a rehab on a light rehab, pay for the renovation costs, and then, you know, make the money on the other side. And you can structure the deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, we all know that like in real estate, just about everything's negotiable in a transaction. And it's just about anything you can think of as a way to structure a deal in investment. It's you can do it as long as everybody agrees and everybody's going to be happy with the outcome. Yeah. Worst case scenario and best case scenario, then you can really structure it anyway. If you get, you know, five people together, everybody has 20 grand to put into it, then put the deal together. It's like it's kind of that easy.
And when you start, it really is that easy. That's the thing, people. I think the hardest part is biting the bullet and actually starting. Because it really is that easy. I mean, once you know all that stuff, I mean, it's that fear just kind of goes away.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have it at all anymore. I'll send an offer right now and have no idea how to pay for it. But I guarantee you one thing, I'll figure out how to pay for it.
Exactly. And we're smart enough. Like every agent out there should be smart enough to know.
Yeah.
Like just put a couple of days due diligence in there, and because A, you want to vet the property a little further, obviously.
Yeah.
And B, it gives you a couple of days to come up with the funding. I mean, you don't lock yourself into something where it's, you don't have a plan B or an exit strategy.
Right. And don't string anybody along too.
Yeah.
Like that one lady was strung. She was strung out for 6 months. She wasn't strung out for 6 months. For
sure. Strung along. Yeah. Because yeah, that greedy wholesaler was trying to make his full nut. If he just wanted to help her, he could have still made money and gotten the house sold.
His fee on that was going to be like $45,000.
$45,000? That's crazy.
And he wouldn't budge either, which is a shame. So
yeah,
Well,
he got nothing.
Put that in reference for other people. My commission on that would have been about $5,000. So if he would have just went with a realtor in the first place, he would have done a good realtor. They would have done a better marketing job. They would have had professional photos. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have been able to really blast it out. But this wholesaler just got it under contract, paid the MLS service to list it. Cell phone. Matter of fact, he had a picture on the listing from the house when it was built, and it wasn't even the same color.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Didn't look like the same house anymore.
Yeah. So let's just say like in any business, there's a lot of unethical people that don't know what the hell they're doing.
It's a shame. And don't
care to take the time to learn to do it the right way either. So that's just be cautious. But I mean, you got to be cautious of that just being a regular real estate agent. So
in life in general,
for sure. So yeah. So the 401k, let's just talk about that for a minute. So if you're looking for money and somebody's willing to take money out of their 401k as like a loan, what, I don't even know what it is, what the interest rate would be on that right now, but let's just say it's 6%, 7%, let's just say it's 8% even.
Yeah.
Then you lend that money to someone for 6 months at a 12% interest rate.
Yeah.
Like that money's still making money for you.
Yeah.
And it not only is making money in your 401k, it's also making money in the real estate investment.
Right. Because the beauty of it, when you take that loan against your 401k, you know, you're not cashing out your 401k, so the money's staying in there. So you just pulled this money from over here, made a clone of it, pulled it out over here. So it's still making money over here, and it's also making, you know, almost double 6% over here too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain tax benefits, which I'm not a CPA. Talk to your CPA about that, about doing it this way where you don't pay, you pay little to no gains.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's a good point too. If you're going to get into investing, definitely get a CPA. That's something that I did not do that I wish I did up front. Yeah. And I was, I did a lot of things. I did a lot of things wrong. Let's put it that way. But yeah, talking to a CPA so that you make decisions that are best for your taxes from the beginning are pretty crucial. And most of them, if there is a consulting fee, it's only like $50 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well worth it. Before we wrap it up here, what advice would you give to agents that are kind of on the fence or they might be a little hesitant?
Trust in your ability and just do it. Push yourself over that edge and just do it. It's going to be scary, but even if you fall on your face, it's a lesson. So stack that lesson, and then next time you decide to do it again, you'll know not to do what made you fall on your face last time.
Yeah.
Definitely get a mentor too. Like, I didn't just up and jump to my first real estate deal. Like I said, I was in real estate like a year and a half before I jumped into the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely do your due diligence. Find a mentor. People you trust, go to investment groups, Google local REAs. You can find them everywhere. They're in every state, multiple ones. There's three or four around us that I've been to. And some of them are actually on Zoom calls, so you don't even got to leave the house. Read books, educate yourself, listen to podcasts on the subject that you're trying to do. Bigger Pockets has some great publications. TJ actually gifted me the Flipping Houses book. I appreciate that.
That's a good one for sure. What's the author's name? Scott. Something Scott.
J. Scott.
Hey, Scott. Yeah. It's a Bigger Pockets published book, something like that. But yeah, it's what Flipping Houses it's called, I think, right?
Yeah.
Flipping Houses. The book on flipping houses. Yeah, that is a good book. That was one of the first books I picked up. And
it's a good one.
Definitely. So cool, man. Well, what? Give us your social media. I'll put some of your social media in the show notes so people can follow you and
DM
if they have questions.
Michael Smith on Facebook, Mickey the Realtor on Instagram. Mickey the Realtor. You can Google me. Don't type Michael Smith into Google because like a million of them will pop up. So I went with Mickey the Realtor.
Perfect. Yeah. I feel you on that one for sure.
Yeah. Big phone numbers all over my social media. So if you need to get in touch with me or have a deal or even have a question, you know, I do free consulting.
Yeah, I can definitely attest. And that's why I felt I didn't even ask you if you wanted to have people reach out to you, but I can attest that you're such a giving guy and you'd be happy to answer. I'm putting words in your mouth right now, but I'm sure you'd be happy to answer any questions. That's just your nature.
Absolutely. Always down to help somebody.
Awesome. Well, good luck, man. I can't wait to see where you take it this year. And thanks for coming on.
Thanks, DJ. Thank you.